Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to Lehem Panim. We've been looking at the first missionary journey of Paul, who sets out with Barnabas from Jerusalem and have now come to Pisidian Antioch. And they go into the synagogue to share with those who have gathered there the good news of Jesus Christ. And we saw last week that there's this tremendous positive response. And word of Paul's message spreads like wildfire. And it says in verses 44 to 45 of Acts chapter 13, "The next Sabbath day, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord." Now, there was also a negative reaction to this as well. As it says in verse 45, "But when the Jews saw the crowds," and these were Jews who had rejected the gospel, "they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him." And the chief word that we have to latch on to here is jealousy, because while the Jewish leaders undoubtedly tried to refute Paul with theological arguments, Luke emphasizes that their disdain, it wasn't because Paul was preaching things that were not true, but rather because he was winning the hearts of the people in a way that they never could. And so they were very jealous. Now, jealousy, unfortunately, is a common reaction, one that we often have when we see others excelling in ways that we haven't, but would like to. Or when we see others receiving affirmation or praise in ways that we want to be affirmed or praised. And like it can happen with us today, these Jewish leaders, they allowed their jealousy to actually lead them into trying to stop the work of God. But the way that we fight that jealousy in our hearts is by learning to rejoice in the work of God, no matter who is doing that work. You know, not long ago, after the intelligence quotient, the IQ test, was developed, several studies were conducted to find out how different groups of people scored on the test as groups. And so the test was administered to men, women, young, old, rich, and poor, and many different ethnic groups as well. And it was in that context that the IQ test was given to a group of Hopi Indians. And when the Hopi Indians received that test, they immediately started to ask each other questions and to compare their answers. And the instructor saw this happening and he quickly intervened. He told them that they had to each take the test alone. He said, "You're not permitted to help each other or to share your answers among yourselves." And when the Hopi Indians heard this, they were outraged and they refused to take the test, saying, "It's not important that I'm smarter than my brother or that my brother is smarter than me. It's only important what we can do together." Wow. You know, I think unfortunately we live in a world that puts such a huge emphasis on what we can do alone. And as a result, we suffer from all sorts of maladies: low self-esteem, competitiveness, jealousy, greed, anger, hostility, and that's just to name a few. But God created us to live in community with each other, to work together, to share our resources with one another, to help each other out. You see, the principle is love, not competitiveness, not greed. And in the body of Christ, no one is greater or more important than anyone else. As 1 Corinthians 12 says, Christianity is not a religion of lone rangers. No, we need one another. But that was obviously not something that these particular Jewish leaders understood. And in response to the jealousy and persecution of the Jewish leaders, it says in verse 46, "And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you," meaning these Jewish leaders. "But since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. And so we see here stressed once again the fact that God's plan has always been that the Jewish nation would be the ones through whom the rest of the world would come to know God. God had said to Abram all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And Paul highlights this in his continuing to quote from the Old Testament, saying in verse 47, For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. You see, God had planned for Israel to be this light, as Isaiah 49:6 says. Through Israel, Jesus, the light of the world, came, we see in Luke 3. And that light, it was meant to spread out even to the Gentiles. And so Paul still seeks to keep to that Jew-first pattern, preaching first to the Jew because he loved his people, as Romans 9:1-5 reveals. And he wanted them to experience the joy of joining with him in proclaiming God's salvation to the world. But unfortunately, as we said before, many Jews were resistant to the idea of Jesus being the Messiah because he didn't fit into their mold of who they thought and wanted the Messiah to be. And many of them did not see or want to believe that God was offering salvation to anyone, Jew or Gentile, who was willing to place their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine what a shock this must have been to the Gentiles in this crowd? What a wonderful message of hope that even they might be brought into the family of God. Which is why it says in verses 48 to 50, And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited devout women of high standing, and the leading men of the city stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. And so instead of accepting what God was saying through Paul, they reject the truth, and they drive Paul and Barnabas all the way out of town. And that's what people almost always do when they come across a truth that they don't want to hear. It's much easier to close our ears or disregard the person who's sharing that truth than it is to receive that truth, especially if it's a truth that will require us to humble ourselves and make serious changes to the way that we think, the way that we treat people, even our whole worldview. But when God points out something in our lives that needs changing, we need to be sure not to pull away from Him, because if we continue to do that, then we'll eventually push the truth so far away from us that it'll no longer affect us. And we'll miss out on what God wants to do in and through our lives. And that's what happened to the Jewish leaders in our passage today. But it says of Paul and Barnabas, verse 51 and following, But they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now what's with the shaking off of the dust from their feet? What's that all about? Well, it was actually customary during that time, whenever a Jew would leave a Gentile town to make their way back to their own land, to shake the dust off of their feet. Because remember, they saw the Gentile regions as unclean. And so it was a symbolic way of kind of cleansing themselves from the contamination of those people who did not worship God. Now, what's remarkable here is that Paul and Barnabas are doing this not to Gentiles, but to the Jewish leaders, which was a powerful way of saying that because they had rejected the good news of the gospel of Christ, they were not truly a part of Israel, and were, in fact, no better than pagans. And this was something that Jesus himself, like I said before, had commanded his followers to do in Mark chapter 6, verse 11. He had told his disciples to shake from their feet the dust of any town that would not accept or listen to them. And the disciples were not at fault if the message was rejected. They only had to present it faithfully. And you know, the same is true of us. So often you and I think that we're responsible for how people respond to our sharing of the message of the gospel. But that's not true. You and I, we are only responsible for sharing the gospel the best we can and trusting God for the rest. Ultimately, it is the responsibility of the hearer to respond and for God to do the best he can to make that person as ready as possible to receive that word of hope from you and from me. And so for us, all we need to worry about is getting out there. We won't be judged for people's rejection of the gospel, but we will be judged for not sharing the gospel. And so let that be an encouragement to you. If somebody rejects you, simply shake it off and keep going, because you're sharing in the rejection of Jesus. And as you're doing that, you are in the company of great men and women who have gone before you. But maybe today, maybe you're not the speaker. Maybe you're the hearer. Maybe God is moving you to respond to the gospel in a way that you haven't before. Maybe even to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ for the first time. And if that's the case, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me today. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I choose to turn from my sins and to invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you. I want to follow you as the Lord of my life, as my Savior. It's in your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, then you have crossed from death to life. And you have cause to celebrate because you also have become a part of the family of God. And so rejoice today. But also remember that that joy, it's not for you alone. No, you must take the light that you have embraced and received from God. You must take it into the world so that the world also may know the light of God's salvation. The Lord has made you a light for the nations so that you might bring salvation to the ends of the earth. May you be a blessing to all the families of the earth as you seek for those open doors to share the gospel with those you encounter. Be faithful to share obediently this week. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.